Hello, and welcome back to the Silver Nitrate Witches Movie Review Brew Sleeping Draft? Look, there's only so many on-brand words and phrases that we can use that get smaller and smaller than a brew and a potion as we make different episode formats, okay? So these, as probably the smallest, you know, a sleeping draft, just like a little sip that you knock back, are going to be a series of mini episodes throughout each season where just one of your hosts is going to go into detail about a movie or a review that we felt we just didn't have the time for in a fuller episode throughout that season, so that eventually we can talk about every single movie we want to here. So today, I am your Silver Nitrate Witch. My name is Isabel Lang. I'm a poet, academic editor, and tarot reader. And today I want to talk about another movie on education and learning that is just so underrated and also a little hard to find on streaming services, and that's Educating Rita. Educating Rita is a 1983 film based on a 1980 stage play of the same title. They were both written by Willie Russell, that is both the stage play and the screenplay. The film was directed by Lewis Gilbert, who received a BAFTA for Best Film, and also stars Michael Caine and Julie Waters, who both won a BAFTA and a Golden Globe each for Best Leading Actor and Actress in that same award season. Also, FYI, if you do look into this movie or get a chance to watch it and Julie Waters looks at all familiar to you, it's likely because she also plays Molly Weasley in the Harry Potter franchise. And she's just wonderful and delightful. Speaking of her being wonderful and delightful, let's talk about the plot of the movie, just in case you aren't able to watch it anywhere, because again, it is kind of hard to find on streaming services. This movie focuses on the character of Rita, as the title would suggest, whose real name is actually Susan, but who has decided to rename herself after Rita Mae Brown, the author of Ruby Fruit Jungle, as she describes in the beginning, because that's a book that she really enjoyed and that meant a lot to her, which is also, you know, I agree, 100%, 10 out of 10, excellent book. So Rita, or Susan, is a 26-year-old hairdresser who's been married for 5 years to her husband Denny, who's an electrician, and living a generally not so bad life. They have a nice little house, she gets along well with her family, her sister's engaged with a baby on the way, etc. But Rita feels as though she just doesn't fit into the mold of this life that she's been handed, and wants to start a journey for herself, well, just to find herself. Or, you know, she and her mother at one point have this really meaningful exchange where she describes it as finding a better song to sing. So she enrolls in Open University to study literature, hoping to give herself a chance to just kind of have more choices in her life. She meets her tutor, Frank Bryant, played by Michael Caine, who is an alcoholic academic who immediately appreciates just like her enthusiasm and her passion and her excitement for the idea of learning in spite of her lack of experience in academics. This is not the kind of student he has come across in a really long time, and he finds her just generally charming for that reason. So the pair of them initially butt heads, but ultimately they do take turns learning from each other. It's, you know, that sort of classic student and the teacher kind of swap roles throughout the story. Really, though, only for Frank to become pretty depressed at how Rita has changed over the course of the story. For one thing, she starts going back to her real name, Susan, and she, you know, achieves what she wants to achieve, which is she becomes educated. She learns to speak up for herself and be able to have her own thoughts and her opinions on the things that matter, as she keeps saying. They do eventually kind of make up and remain friends at the film's end, with Rita slash Susan having, you know, met her goal of finding herself in a life where she really feels like she does belong, even though she's not quite sure what she wants to do next. And Frank right on the edge of starting to accept the changes that are happening around him. So just for a bit of context here, because, you know, if you are not living in the UK, you might not be familiar with Open University. It is a public research institution founded by the Labour government in the UK in 1969 in conjunction with the BBC. It offers distance learning with like private tutorials as well as an on-campus component for certain programs and televised broadcasts of lectures for the general public. Now, the televised broadcasts were pretty much only in its early days. They stopped doing them around the early 2000s, but the university as a whole still does exist and currently boasts the largest student body in the UK. And the private tutorial program, plus like the televised lectures, that's the route that Rita takes in this film to obtain a degree in literature. I don't know that it ever actually says what kind of degree she gets, but I'm pretty sure it's undergraduate. It is implied that this is like her only kind of formal education. So just getting some initial thoughts going. Oh my gosh, I love this movie. And like, to be fair, I don't think any movies that we have watched or talked about so far in this podcast that neither one of us has loved. I mean, hasn't loved. We typically tend to pick movies that we like, but wow, I forgot how much I love this movie. I hadn't seen it in probably 15 years, and I know I enjoyed it even more this time than the first time around. I think benefiting from just like a more adult understanding of Rita's like personal and internal conflicts, and also just a more experienced understanding of university systems and academia. You know, I've been through a handful of university programs. I work at a university now, and I remember the first time watching it, you know, when I was in my teens, not understanding a whole lot about it, but I remember feeling really sad with Frank in the film as he sees Rita begin to change. Really thinking that it was kind of like he'd lost a friend to the system, or like he had a friend and then she sold out or whatever. But watching it through this time, I remembered I felt that way, and I was surprised that watching it through this time, I really felt sad for Frank, because it seemed to me like what he really lost was the adoration of a student, which it doesn't seem like he's had for a while. At the very beginning of the movie, there's a student who is just like so fed up with the way he's doing his class, he just gets up and walks out of the room, you know? At one point, Rita goes to like a summer school program. I'm assuming that's also through Open University. And she comes back. I get the impression pretty much having learned more in her time there than in any of her tutorials that she had with Frank, which I didn't really notice at my first watch through. And, you know, although she likes learning with him and she's happy to keep attending their sessions, it's almost like, it seems to me like for Frank, this is confirmation of what he's thought about himself for a number of years now, which is that he's kind of washed up. He's kind of done. But those are just my thoughts on the second watch through. And I'm actually really excited to kind of like stew on those thoughts and stew on this review we're going to talk about in a minute for a number of years, and like come back at it again and see, you know, what else I can get from it the next time I watch it. But let's get on with the rest of the episode. All right, so the review, we're just going to do one review. This is a mini-sode after all. The review I want to talk about, if you listened to last week, this is going to be unsurprising. I initially found a written review by Roger Ebert that I wanted to focus on for this mini-sode that was very similar to his review of Dead Poets Society that we looked at last week. And I was like, oh, goodness gracious, we're just going to read this review and I'm just going to rant for a few minutes. Now, I am still going to rant for a few minutes. You're not getting out of it that easy. But I also, in like kind of looking up some more information about his thoughts on the movie, actually found a Siskel and Ebert episode where they do like a quick sort of like 3-minute-ish discussion of Educating Rita together. Now, Ebert said a lot of the same things in both his written review and in this episode, but I was also interested to hear what Siskel had to say, and so I wanted to highlight that today instead, and I'll also put a link to the clip where they have this discussion in the show notes if you would like to watch it yourself. So they both ultimately gave this movie a thumbs down, boo, but Siskel, I think, had a much more reasonable, I felt, response to this movie. In citing, like, he talked about, like, his experience of watching the movie and why he ultimately gave it a thumbs down, which I do appreciate it. Like, I disagree with him that this movie gets a thumbs down, but I can understand where he's coming from, why he disliked it, because he ultimately talks about, like, the strange timeline of the film, which I actually do agree with. I think the timeline is a bit too much to suspend my disbelief for. So, like, they don't really talk about the nuts and bolts of the specific tutorial program she goes through. So I don't know what this timeline is like. I don't know if it's like a 4-year program that she's going through, like a traditional university, or if it's like a quicker timeline because she's just focusing on English literature as opposed to, like, you know, the more general classes that you would take as a university student as well. So it is difficult to understand how much time is passing. So, like, we go through so many different seasons. Like, we go through winter a couple of times, we go through summer twice. I think it must be something like at least 2, if not 3 years that pass by, but without, you know, there's really no confirmation of it, except at one point about halfway through the film, her father is talking to her and says, "You're 27 years old," so we know at some point she has had a birthday. But that's kind of it. So it is a little confusing as to how fast or slow, without any help from the writing at all. So I understand, and I do actually agree with that criticism. I think the film could do that better, because it is a little hard to get your bearings and find out just where we are in time in this movie. But he does also end by saying that the character of Rita is really well done and interesting and well acted by Julie Waters. And I would definitely agree with him on that point as well, as would the various, you know, award granting institutions. She won 2 awards for this film and she was wonderful. However, Ebert, I still wholeheartedly disagree with. And if you listened to our episode last week, I think really Ebert just maybe we can say that, I think we could say that he doesn't like movies about literature or about education, and for, I think, completely bullshit reasons. So he's got basically 2 main complaints in both of his written review and this discussion he has with Siskel. And his 2 complaints are, for one, that there's too many characters, and then for 2, he says, he finds it unbelievable that, quote, "they're going to use literature to change her life," end quote. Now, I have a couple of rebuttals to this. Okay, strap in. My rebuttal to this is, 1, it is very difficult to make a successful and entertaining film with only 2 characters. Okay, what he is saying when he's talking about that there's too many people in this movie is he's comparing it to the stage production, which does only have the 2 characters of Frank and Rita. The whole thing, I'm presuming, probably takes place during their tutorial sessions in his office over the course of however long their tutorial lasts. And I think that would actually make a wonderful stage production, but a stage production is an entirely different vehicle than a film. Certainly now, certainly in the 80s, certainly since the production of film began, you know, back with Edison in Fort Lee, New Jersey, right? So I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm just recognizing, like, I feel like I can recognize, even as a person who doesn't make movies, that it's very difficult to make a successful and entertaining film with just 2 people and just 1 set. And I actually think that the introduction of the other characters give more casual viewers who are not film critics an extra hand in really understanding the conflict between the characters, right? So, like, if we take Rita, or Susan, for instance, if we only had her and not her husband, I think it's very easy to kind of villainize the other people in her life that we don't see. But because we see her and her interactions with her husband, her father, and her mother, now to be fair, I do think her husband and her father are kind of assholes, but I think when we see them all work together, it's harder to just completely villainize them and write them off as awful people. And I think it's much easier to understand the disconnect that she feels from the life that she is supposed to want based on what the people around her in that life want. You know, her husband wants a kid. He wants to start a family. her father, that's all he ever wanted. And he doesn't understand that you couldn't, you know, her sister is, you know, pregnant before even getting engaged, right? The life of the people around her is really focused on building family and community. And she just doesn't understand why that's not something that she wants right now. And I think if we only see her talking about it, it's easy to assume that the people around her are all these evil people forcing reproduction and family and motherhood on her. But I think it's much harder to, you know, it just makes it a more complex and interesting story knowing, well, they are coming from the lives that they want too. And it's reasonable for her husband to want a kid. It's also reasonable for her not to want a kid. And that's why they don't end up working out in the end. Anyway, so I just think with the addition of the extra characters, we get a better understanding of what she's seeking, which is just that option to choose for herself. And also, you know, I think the other characters that are not directly related to like the understanding of the story are just real entertaining. Like Frank has this girlfriend he lives with who's having an affair with his best friend, and I am 100% sure he knows the entire time, and he's just like, I'll let them have their fun and don't worry about it. And it's just really entertaining how that whole storyline plays out, even though there's an affair involved, right? It makes it, it's a sad story ultimately, and, well, I mean, it has a happy ending, but, like, you know, the things they go through as characters are tough to watch, and these other characters around the ensemble lighten things and make it a little bit easier to sit through 2 hours of, you know, the depressing story that they ultimately go through. Which brings us to two, his complaint that they're trying to use literature to change her life, which I would absolutely disagree with. She is trying to change her life, that's for sure, and, like, the particular vehicle of a degree she has chosen happens to be literature, but ultimately she's using education to change her life. She is giving herself an education to have options. And I think it's really clear, personally, the reason that she picks literature is because she likes to read. If you talk to, I mean, I couldn't speak for every single English major in the world, but I know myself and all of the English majors that I know personally, we all went into that degree because we liked to read. I remember going to one of the, like, orientation-y promotional days at my university before I officially enrolled there, and one of the literature professors from the English department was supposed to stand up and give a speech about why we should come and do English, and he clearly hadn't prepared. But he just stood up, and if you are also an alumni of Mississippi State University, this is Dr. Anderson I'm talking about. He stood up, took a sip of his inevitable Diet Coke that he always has in his hand, and said something like, if you want to read good books and talk about them, come to our department. And I was so sold, like, immediately. That was perfect. And that's exactly why Rita goes with literature, ultimately, because she likes to read. When she starts writing her essays and Frank encourages her to reference other works of literature, she references the other books that she is reading, which happen to be things like Ruby Fruit Jungle or like romance novels or things like that. And so, yes, she picks literature specifically, but that is, I think, far less important than just the idea of getting an education. When she had no formal education, she was stuck in the life that she'd been born into without any choice otherwise. But with the education she's receiving now, she has choices. At the end of the film, she says herself, you know, I might have a baby because it would be my choice to do so. She says she might go to France with these other students who have invited her for the summer. She talks about how that she was offered a job in London and she might move there. She had one option before, which was to have a baby and start a family. And now, with some level of degree under her belt, she has multiple choices. She is able to make the life she wants for herself because she has an education which she didn't have before. It honestly doesn't matter what the subject is. It's the education itself. It's the confidence that she has gained through this program. It's the skills in argumentation and discussion that she has practiced. It's the way that she has learned, as she says herself at the end of the movie, she has learned to question things. And these are not things that she would have been able to do or had the confidence to do had she not gone through a degree program, any degree program, in the first place. So I would argue, no, they're not using literature to change her life. She is using an education to change her life, which I think is kind of the point of this whole season that Laura and I are getting at. Anyway, And you know what? That actually brings us to number three. I know I said he had two problems and I was going to have two rebuttals, but we've got three. Which is what I was saying before. This seems to be the same issue that Ebert had with Dead Poets Society, that the movie isn't actually about learning poetry, but about using poetry as a vehicle for something else. To which I would like to say, hi, dude, welcome to metaphors, first of all. And secondly, I want to reiterate what Laura and I discussed last week, which is that, like, while some people might enjoy a film that's wholly about poetry and literature, ourselves included, it is hardly going to be like a blockbuster or any kind of commercial success, even with really popular names that might make a big draw, like Robin Williams or Michael Caine, you know? And finally, there's four things I'm going to say in response to him, which is that I get the sense that, you know, Ebert, this critic, like many others, A.O. Scott, can really sort of miss the forest for the trees, I think, when it comes to writing about these films. They can get so wrapped up in the criticism itself that they forget the point of media, or at least the point of media as I see it, which is to entertain, to bring joy, to tell stories that we want to hear, to make us feel things, to show us how we can change ourselves, you know? Because if we wanted a 2-hour crash course in literature, we wouldn't go to the movies. We would go to Open University, right? So, those are my thoughts. I disagree with Ebert wholeheartedly, but I think Siskel raises some good points. It's not a perfect movie, of course, but what is, right? I'm sure somebody will have opinions. If you do have an idea of the perfect movie, throw it in the comments. Let us know. Maybe we'll talk about it one day.
Tarot.
I didn't prepare like a formal sort of tarot reading for this, but as I've been going through and talking about this, I do get the sense that if I were going to assign a card to characters in this film, I think honestly I would give Frank and Rita both the Fool, especially at the end of the movie, which I know seems counterproductive because like at the end of the movie, she's educated, she has this understanding, she has these, this life that she has always wanted to have. But just as she says herself, she has all these options in front of her. So she's really just like the Fool at the beginning of her journey. You know, she has so many steps in so many directions that she could take because she has given herself these opportunities now. And Frank at the end of the film, I mean, honestly, Frank, I think throughout the entirety of the film has been the Fool for a number of reasons, not only his, you know, alcoholism, but also because he is given, I wouldn't say he's given an opportunity, basically. He's forced into a sabbatical, we'll say, through his poor behavior. But, you know, because he and Rita have the sort of come to Jesus moment at the end of the movie, they both talk about how they feel and what they've learned from each other, and she, you know, she's a hairdresser, she finally gives him a haircut, and he looks, you know, like he's actually had a good night's sleep for the first time in a decade, and he does seem genuinely excited to go off and start this new chapter of his life, even though he has no idea what he's gonna do, really. But they depart on more equal terms than they have been at any point in the movie, and they depart with the same goal of just like taking the next right step as they see fit. So yeah, the Fool seems incredibly appropriate at this time for both of them. So, you know, I would like to say if you've not seen this movie, absolutely give it a shot, but it is very difficult to find streaming. Give it a chance if you're able to do so, because it is a delightful movie, and it's Julie Walters is just so wonderful. She's just wonderful. So that'll wrap us up, I guess. You can find your Silver Nitrate Witches on various online platforms at LJ Valenza and at Bellang303. Thanks so much to Fine Motor for the use of their songs Highway Moon and In Event. You can check out more about the band at finemotormusic.com. Thanks for listening. Stay witchy and keep watching movies.